Welcome to CompTIA's Shark Bites podcast with Alan Shark, Executive Director at the Public Technology Institute.
Hi, everybody. This is Alan Shark, and I am the Executive Director of CompTIA's Public Technology Institute. You are listening to CompTIA and PTI's newest podcast series, Shark Bites, where we interview and have great discussions with technology leaders across the United States serving local governments, cities and counties in all parts of the United States. And today, we're going to be having a conversation with Chris Lilly. I've known Chris for a number of years, and he heads the technology at Murfreesboro in Tennessee. And so, Chris, first of all, welcome to Shark Bites.
Thank you, Dr. Shark.
And I guess it would be helpful if I always blow people's bios and descriptions. I sometimes focus on the wrong parts. Tell us more about yourself. What got you interested in technology? How long have you been doing what you're doing? And how long have you been working where you are?
Okay. Technology has been a lifelong relationship for me. So I'll try to put it short. It started way back when I was in grade school. That I really enjoyed working with computers. Fast forward, right after high school, as I go into college, businesses started realizing where technology could be used all throughout their companies. And so they started, as they started implementing technology into their companies and computers, they needed someone that could fix them, someone that could work on them. And it started from there. Fast forward just a few years, I have been the IT director slash CIO for the city of Murfreesboro for 8 years. And since then we've come up with a couple of strategies, IT strategic plans. And we've come up with a pretty healthy IT governance team that oversees public safety, city administration, and utilities within the city. We've had some big wins. We've had some areas of that we know we need to improve. We're not perfect, but we're striving for perfection.
As we all. So tell us a bit more about the city.
Okay, the city of Murfreesboro is actually the 10th fastest growing city in the nation. It is, right now, it is around 150,000 residents. Just kind of giving you a gauge at where we were in year 2000, we had around 60,000 residents. Wow. So we are booming. We are 30 miles southeast of Nashville, Tennessee, which is known as the It City, and it's fastly growing. So we are reaping the benefits, if you want to call them benefits, of their growth and their success.
So challenging times for you. So with all the growing demands placed upon you, how many staff do you have?
I have 26 employees.
Not bad. So the question is, we're having this discussion kind of in the middle, although who knows if that's the right word, in the COVID-19 crisis. You have another crisis that happens in your area called tornadoes. So you have two things that kind of occur. One is occurring right now. So let's start with the first. How has the novel virus affected you these days?
Well, first off, we haven't both of them happen at the same time. It's tornado season for us. As a matter of fact, we were on the tornado warning last night. And recently, we had a tornado come through Nashville, and we have not recovered from that. It touched down right outside of Nashville, and it stayed on the ground for about 60 miles. It was started an F3, ended up an F4, and there were lives lost. So we're still recovering from the damages around that. And meanwhile, we've got the COVID crisis going on where we're told to isolate. So kind of have two different things going on where we need to come together and we need to isolate. And so that's prevented a big challenge in our area.
So when it comes to disaster planning, COOP, and all these kind of plans, you probably are looking at these plans more than most because of the fact that you've had tornadoes and things that have, you know, something you always have to be aware of. But let's get back to the COVID thing. How has that impacted your operations in supporting all these people who are now working from home remotely. I mean, this happened so fast. I don't think anybody could have been 100% prepared, but how did you cope with all this, and how are you coping with this switch in terms of supporting much more of a remote workforce?
Well, we have to stay agile in IT, and that's nature of the business. I mean, we get all types of calls in. Never did we realize that we'd be fighting a biological virus instead of technical, and we'd have to work that in our disaster contingencies, business continuity plans, but that is something that we're having to do. We're having to work with our counterparts, with the counties around us, also with the state government, to understand and to plan for what's being passed down as far as different policies and plans. Recently, the state government has approved electronic meetings for public officials. So that's something that we've had to work on and get all of our public officials up to speed, all while being safe throughout this COVID crisis so that they can maintain getting business done, because city can't close down. We just have to figure out a different way of doing things.
So you've moved from the physical to the virtual world, but that also puts strains on the system in terms of broadband. Has broadband been an issue, especially when people start working from home and suddenly realize that maybe what they had at home is not adequate? Has that been a problem for you? And then how do you encrypt some of the communications? Are you increasing VPN networks, or, you know, tell us some of the things you're doing to, in the support of the remote employees.
Yes, a couple things that we're doing. We have reached out to our VPN vendor, and we've been able to negotiate. They've given us temporarily more licenses. We have all of our telework employees, the ones that have gone home because of this crisis, they are using VPN to enter our network. We are not allowing personal devices at this time to enter.
Others are. You realize that some people say, well, this is an emergency. You know, I can do this. And, you know, that gets very scary in terms of all the real viruses out there, the other ones, the virtual viruses. So good for you so far.
That's correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something that we were able to do is we were able to get some information kind of ahead of time with talking with the state government. Kind of saw this coming a little bit, and we ordered a bunch of Chromebooks. So we're using those Chromebooks and provisioning those, using VPN to get into our network, and then we're using a remote desktop tool to get them to their computer, because a lot of times employees, they're already changing the way that they're functioning by not going in, but we want to give them something that's normal, which will be their desktops from their office.
So have you run into problems, as others have voiced, that, you know, you can't find enough headsets? Because many DR coup plans that envision people working from home or teleworking could just use their Chromebooks or laptops, whatever, not recognizing the fact that, boy, you know, I probably should have a headset, because there are dogs, cats, screaming kids, other kinds of distractions, other members of the family. Have you had any problem getting equipment beyond the Chromebooks for people, or that doesn't seem to be an issue for you at this point?
It's not an issue. I try to leverage some thinking, understand that, and I'm quoting one of my other employees, actually my manager, where he said, this is the first time for everybody, including the mayor, including our city manager. It's the first time that we're going through with this. So let's not expect each other to be perfect. And let's work with each one. And I have put that out there. And as we've been training the employees to go home for telework, and the management, that you might hear a dog barking, you might hear children in the background, you might hear a spouse, you know, but understand that this is not perfect. And this is the world we live in right now. We can still get business done. Now, we do have some headsets for our receptionists. We do have receptionists at home and some of our administrative staff, but we've also used the power of voice over IP to actually send some of them home with their desk phones. We're able to hook up a power block and reconfigure their phones, and they can work from home as if they're working from work.
That's super. That's the first I've heard of that. It makes total sense. So Chris, tell me, with all the things going on, what have been your greatest frustrations that you've encountered in the last, I guess, 3 weeks?
Throughout this crisis, one of my greatest frustrations would be the resistance to change. where, you know, I do understand that we're all being forced to do something different, but we're all in this together. And but we did have some of the staff that it was really hard for them to change the way that they were doing the work that they were doing. This crisis has also forced companies to relook at their policies, as well as the governments, and to think of alternative ways of getting work done. And this is not always easy in the government sector. A lot of times it takes an act of Congress or an act of a council to change a policy or a procedure. So that's been frustrating as well.
And what would you say is kind of what has inspired you throughout this crisis?
I would say what has inspired me. One thing would be my staff. They have stepped up to this challenge 100%. They have agreed to get work done regardless. They've agreed to, and there's been several times where I've had to talk them down and say, hey, we need to be safe about getting this done. And they're focused on making sure that the business continues to do work. And I just want to make sure that they're safe when they're doing it. But I do not have one of my staff, you know, that will not go the extra mile and see to it that the work gets done. So I'm very inspired by my staff.
Well, they're probably inspired by you. And, you know, in the past, you could get to know people better and give them high fives by a pat on the back physically, which we probably will never do again. You could take them for lunch or drinks or have a cup of coffee. What do you do now to kind of stay in touch and give them kind of morale talk? Because, you know, we can easily get caught up with the bad news and news, and you always have to worry about how people are coping. They've got other things going on at home and with loved ones and perhaps families where people are out of work and things like that. How are you kind of keeping morale up, or are these people, they're just self-incentivized, don't need help?
And that is very important. And one thing that we do is I make sure that I communicate daily to them, letting them know that I'm here for them. I'm here as a support. But we do have a little fun little activity that we do at the end of these last couple weeks. And we actually have one scheduled for tonight. We have a virtual happy hour.
Yay.
Yeah, we can't give out the drinks, but we do have a happy hour where we just get on there and you know, we put our eyes on each other and kind of celebrate our successes throughout the week. Any compliments that I've received throughout the week for them, I make sure that they know. I make sure they know that they are appreciated again. And I encourage them to have a happy and safe weekend.
Good for you. You're an inspiring leader, and I know you. And, you know, one of the things I forgot to mention when you were talking about yourself and your love for technology and the work that you do in the public sector is the fact that you're also a graduate of our CGCIO program. So, yes. Good. And towards that end, you know, I'm a big advocate of continuous learning, professional development, and training. Now that we're part of CompTIA, we have a lot of things to offer, both through PTI and CompTIA. Has this crisis unveiled to you any ongoing training needs that you've identified for your staff?
Definitely. Yes, definitely. Not only, you know, should we be thinking about what's digital out there, and in planning for the next 5-10 years, but also now we need, the world we live in is that we have to think about what's biological. What happens if we have something similar to this to come through that changes the way that we do things globally? How do we adjust to that? And those are some of the things we have to start thinking about and putting in our continuity plans.
Yeah. And what has been different when it comes to the tornadoes? I mean, what extra challenges did that bring, or you see them as the same?
It's a little different. Tornadoes, if it hits ground zero, then yes, you will be down, and there's a way that you'll need to recover. But happen, they usually hit. They may hit a residency, or you know, in the area, knock out power or knock out internet connectivity for a short amount of time. But this has been over the course of weeks, and we've had to change the way that we do things. So it is a little different. And, you know, where we only had to think about having alternative sites to function for the next 2-3 days, or other ways to find out how to get internet access, or other ways how to find out how to get power. Now we have to think about how to get everyone's office to their homes. So it is a little different way of thinking.
And the vendor community, have they really been there to help you?
I would say that was something that if I had to go back and if I could plan for this, our vendors have been well. This would have been something that I'd like to have done proactively. I've reached out to our internet access provider, and they have increased our bandwidth for free throughout this.
Great.
They've agreed to do that. I've reached out to our cellular vendors. They've given us personal hotspots for some of our employees that didn't have Wi-Fi access. I've also reached out to some of my telephony. They made it to where we could take some of those telephones home, and they offered some of their engineers' expertise to help us out. And I've also reached out to some of our hardware vendors, and they've offered to give us loaner laptops and different devices to help us work from home.
So Chris, looking ahead, people are looking and trying to define what the new normal is, and many people have concluded the new normal is being ready for the unthinkable and being in constant flux. But in technology, we have an opportunity to start planning. So as we move ahead, one of the jobs that you have is to do some strategic planning. How do you view the future in government as it relies on technology in the next couple of years?
I believe this crisis will motivate our government operations to adopt more modern approaches at getting business done. Remote workers will increase. Government operations will use online resources to better serve their communities and citizens. 5 years from now, governments will broaden their search for talent by looking farther than just their communities for employees. Upcoming technologies such as 5G, I believe, will make it easier for remote working success. But I do believe that this is one of those lemons that we're going to see some lemonade come out of it. And we're going to see some areas where we no longer function the way that we have functioned before this. I do believe that the way of getting business done overall will never be the same.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. Well, Chris, I want to thank you for spending some time with us in talking about what's going on in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. You're doing a fantastic job where you are.
Thank you.
I want to thank everybody who's listening. This is PTI's and CompTIA's podcast, the newest edition called Shark Bites, and we will be bringing you many more interviews dealing with technology issues, leadership in particular, facing cities and counties across the country, and in particular, focusing on the technology leaders such as Chris Lilly. So again, thank you for your time, Chris.
Thank you.
This has been a production of PTI, the Public Technology Institute. To learn more, visit pti.org.